Begin transmission.
You are listening to Corellian Run Radio, your route through hyperspace to the latest news on Star Wars: The Old Republic.
Hi, and welcome to Corellian Run Radio. I'm Carla.
And I'm Kathy.
Well, I'm back home from the great state of Arizona, and as you can tell by my voice, I have an allergy attack. So I have a kind of a throaty, nasally thing going on, but I'm here.
You're right.
Other than that, my week has been really good, and I've had a lot going on personally, but no one's injured or sick except for my little dog, Sadie, and she's at the vet.
Aww.
But we'll be getting her home this afternoon, so all is well in this household. How about you, Kathy?
Well, I did get to see Inception, and I liked it so much I went and saw it again a few days later, so I would definitely recommend it for people, especially since the summer has been so terrible with movies coming out and being sort of awful. If you like a movie where you have to think a little bit, then I would say go see it, because it was a lot of fun, and I've been having a lot of fun talking about it with my friends. Yeah, I also have my other big thing going on is that I'm a musical director for a youth community theater group, and we open this coming weekend, so I'm kind of going crazy with that right now.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, it is.
What's your production on?
It's Narnia, the musical, which maybe you didn't know there was a musical, but there is, and we're doing it. It should be pretty good. The kids are doing a great job.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. I'm sure they'll have a great time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's time for our host challenge.
Fact,
you know it to be true,
or fiction.
That's impossible.
I'm going to read three bits of information or three leads about the game. Two of them will be made up or not yet confirmed. Only one will be a fact confirmed by BioWare. Your job is to pick out which one is true.
Okay, ready.
Here we go. Lead number one, faction change will never be possible. Lead number two, you will be able to play Pazak at one of the casinos in Nar Shada. Lead number three, the cat-like race, the Cathar, have been announced as a playable race. So, after hearing all three leads, which one is the confirmed fact?
Ooh.
Is this a tricky one?
This is a tricky one because repeat number one.
Lead number one is faction change will never be possible.
See, that's a fact. That is definitely a fact. Lead number two, although it sounds totally and completely cool, is false. And number three is false.
That is right. Yes, they have talked about the Cathar at the Friday update a couple weeks ago, but they did not say that it was going to be a playable race, whereas James Olin said emphatically at the Comic-Con panel, faction change will never be possible. So you are right. Ding, ding, ding.
All right. Very cool. Up next, developer updates and breaking news.
From the NewsNet.
And beyond.
Well, our first section is fan art update. Vitalius, and I apologize if I'm butchering his name, did an animated video featuring Darth Rasp, and it was complete with music, voice acting, storyboarded. It was outstanding. What did you think about it, Kathy?
Yeah, I was really impressed with it was extremely cinematic, you know, like something you would see on TV or in a movie. So he really did a great job.
I was very impressed. And the next one was from Tank. It was hard to get in because Photo Bucket has a limit, but when I finally got in early this morning, I really liked his, you know, what he did. I thought it was very, very good. He's a very good artist.
Oh, what did he do? Because I never did get past Photo Bucket.
He did a ship. He did a character, and it looked really good. I mean, I was very impressed with his artistic ability.
Oh, that's neat. It's nice that they feature the fan art. That's really cool.
Yeah, I really like that one. Then the next one was from Ash or Oxygen. He painted his character of what he was hoping his character would look like, and he labeled it mm-hmm. Sith's Little Helper. Well, while I loved the Sith's Little Helper guy, I really was not too impressed with the artwork from the aspect of it being Star Wars related. I thought it looked more like an undead mage in WoW. And I mean, that's just my opinion. I loved the way he drew. I just didn't like the character itself.
That's really funny because, yeah, I just was impressed because I thought it was really a pretty painting. But now that you mention it, it definitely seemed more WoW-ish than Star Wars-y, except for the fact there was that little droid at the bottom, which is adorable, of course.
Of course. There was also a link to the wallpaper and the fan site kit that was updated. All of this is from the 23rd of July, by the way. And so there were several new avatars mm-hmm. and a couple of new wallpapers that were added. And I really loved the Sith wallpaper. That was really cool.
Oh, yes. Or is that your desktop now?
No, but it could be.
Maybe when you start playing for real.
Exactly.
All right. So the last thing from the update 2 weeks ago was the Developer's Corner concept art of the Cathar, or the Cathar, which in KOTOR, there was a character, a Jedi, Juhani, who was a Cathar, and I think she had a very thick Russian accent. There was an interesting note from Wikipedia that apparently she is the first Star Wars character to be written as a lesbian. The first game had an error which allowed both male and female players to have romantic relations with her, and so some people thought that was bi, that meant she was bisexual, but apparently that has been fixed by the developers. Although if you get a fan-made mode, you will have access to that romantic subplot, whether you are male or female. So I thought that was an interesting little side note.
Oh my.
Yeah, I wonder, that is something people are wondering, if you're going to be able to have romantic relationships with, I guess, with your companion characters or any other NPCs. That'll be something people will be eager to find out.
And that leads us to our next update. The new novel, Fatal Alliance, by Sean Williams, has been released. And although I have not purchased the audio or the book itself, I have read what they have released on the SWTOR.com website. And I thoroughly enjoyed the first chapter of the book that I read. It brought me into the novel itself, and I could really get into the characters. So I thought it was very entertaining. What did you think, Kathy?
Yeah, I was really kind of excited about it because I heard so many people who have just loved it. And so when they had that excerpt on that Friday update, I thought, oh, great, I'll be able to, you know, read a little bit and see if I want to get the book. And so I read it, and I have to say that I was not that impressed. But I have to start by saying, you have to be the kind of person, if you are the kind of person that likes the type of fan fiction where they incorporate game mechanics into the story, then you will not have a problem like I did. And that was kind of like where I was coming from right out of the gate. I thought, oh, I don't like this kind of writing. So, you know, every time you have, you know, the smuggler is moving from one cover point to the next cover point, or you have the guy thinking about, oh, this guy's a bounty hunter. That means he's going to do ranged attacks. And so I have to, you know, if I can get close, I'll be okay. To me, that always sort of pulls me out of the story. I'd rather just enjoy the story, enjoy the action for what it is. I don't really want to be reminded about the game mechanics. But some people really like that. And I think that if you are into finding clues about how the game is going to be played, then you will like this. You will really enjoy when they describe the combat in those terms, or if you see a character, you know, using maybe a force ability on somebody, and you'll be thinking, aha, that means this class can do that. So if you like that kind of thing, then I think this book is for you. Other than that, I thought some of the writing was a little awkward to me, but my husband calls me a snob, so that's probably where I'm coming from also. So anyway, I will say that I got the audiobook. I have an audible.com account, so I had some from credits left over. I said, well, maybe I'll try it this way. And it's really well done. The voice acting is excellent. The narrator is good. And then they add, you know, they add soundtrack music and they add sound effects. So it was a little strange since I've never read a book or listened to a book with that, but I actually started enjoying it after a while. So, and it made me just focus more on the story, which, you know, is actually, yeah, it's entertaining. So I definitely would like to find out what's happening, and I would recommend listening to it because it's a really well produced work.
Excellent.
Oh, let's also talk about Comic-Con, because that was like the big thing from two Fridays ago. I want to start actually by saying that I was excited because I had a friend, Rick, who was going to Comic-Con. I thought, oh, great, he'll be our eyes and ears, and, you know, he'll get secret info and maybe take pictures. And so I sent him with instructions of, you know, who I was interested in, you know, look for BioWare, blah, blah, blah. And he went, and he messaged me and said, I couldn't even find them. I said, what? Like, apparently they weren't in the exhibitor's material. He found a huge Star Wars area that was for Clone Wars. And he actually went up to the people there and said, I'm looking for the, you know, tour. I'm looking for BioWare. And they were like, what? So I think if you didn't know that BioWare was there and hadn't had the foresight to look them up online, it was really hard to even know that they were there. So I thought that was unfortunate, but
that's disappointing.
Yeah, it is. I was very surprised. I don't know if they decided to go too late and maybe couldn't be included on the printed materials or what, but yeah, that confused me. So we don't have any awesome pictures or anything like that, unfortunately. But so the big thing, though, for people who are into Tor and know about it was the announcement of Space Combat, of course. And I guess even though that was the subject of the Facebook Twitter challenge, and we didn't meet the numbers that we were supposed to, BioWare decided to take pity on us and announced Space Combat anyway, so that was great. What did they say? They said they're making it an, quote, alternative gameplay experience, which is interesting phrasing. I think some people are interpreting that to mean it could be just something really minor and maybe even a little lame. but I don't know. I think that that you could also interpret this saying they're separating it from the storyline, quest, character development, those pillars over there, and saying that this is something you can do apart from that. And I don't think it's necessarily makes sense to say, oh no, that means it's going to suck, because, you know, I as a WoW player, I consider Battlegrounds an alternative gameplay experience because I don't really like it that much. And you can go, you know, you can go all the way to 80 and never set foot into a Battleground, and it doesn't affect your progression at all. But that doesn't mean that Battlegrounds are something that are lame. In fact, that's some people only want to do that. So I think that we need to give BioWare, you know, a little space and wait to see what they have to say about it, which they will in next month's PC Gamer magazine. When did they say it was coming out? August 17th? Does that sound right?
Correct.
Okay. So, I think, I don't know, what do you think? I think it could be pretty substantial.
I am hoping, because this is a Star Wars game, that it will be more than just a sideline little space combat that you might alternatively do. I hope that, and it may be future updates because they need to get the game out.
Right.
I'm hoping it will be very substantial, and I'm hoping that it'll be more than going into a space zone. I'm hoping that it will be combat,
right.
You know. I mean, I want combat. I mean, I love the whole aerial combat thing, you know. I think
absolutely
it definitely offer a different perspective on the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it'd make a major change.
And don't you think that, I mean, they know people were waiting for it. And the fact that they chose to make it, you know, like the subject of that Facebook Twitter challenge, you know, they could, you know, we're going to reveal space if we meet this challenge. And the fact that it's going to be the cover article of the next PC Gamer, I mean, I think that means that they feel pretty confident that the fans are going to be excited about space combat and that they're actually delivering something substantial. That's,
I agree.
That's my take.
I agree. I could not agree more. I think that those naysayers are a little premature. I think we still...
As usual.
Yeah, we're still, you know, the game's not coming out until the spring of next year, which could be all the way to June, you know. And I think they just need to give BioWare some space and take what they can get as far as news is concerned and, you know, see where it leads. Because I don't think we're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope not. On a related note, they mentioned also about player ships. I don't know if they've actually said they're going to be customizable in the past, but he did say they will be customizable, but Olin would not elaborate on, you know, what exactly that means, and not even to the extent of saying it's going to be something to do with the way your ship looks. So hopefully, again, we'll just get more information about that maybe in the PC Gamer.
Absolutely. Speaking of PC gamers, that extensive article is also going to discuss the Jedi Knight and the Jedi Counselor classes. So it's going to be a fun issue to grab a hold of.
Yeah, well, since right now I plan to play Republic, I'm of course very interested in this, and I hope they're saving the best classes for last. You know, it's sort of like, do you think they're intentionally waiting to throw this at us because it's going to be just terrific and people are going to be really excited?
I do. I think that they're going to be very excited, and although I'm still very strongly leaning towards playing Sith, I'm very interested in both of these classes, so I'm definitely going to grab the issue.
Okay, one of the other things they talked about on the panel, which we should mention, I guess, there were three people taking part in the panel. There was James Olin, Alexander Freed, who is the one of the writers, and he actually has his own Star Wars books out, I believe, and then Drew Karpyshyn, who is also another writer, and he also has written books, I think. So they were the ones talking about the multiplayer story theme or whatever it is. So anyway, the one-off quests versus the world arcs. We've kind of heard them mention this, that, and the other, but I really thought it was interesting that they said the world arcs are going to be probably more important for developing your character. And I guess that makes sense because it seems like those, rather than the one-off quests, which I take to mean, you know, kind of like your simple kill quests, maybe, you know, something that you just have to do in town and then you never really think about it again, and that there aren't any major decisions to be made. I think the world arc quests, they're telling us, are the ones that where you're going to have those choices where your choice will give you dark points or light points, and so they emphasize that those are the stories and those are the quest lines that are going to really be the major shaping of your character.
Yes, what I picked up from that video was that the one-off quests or stories are more solo. You know, they're more for the solo player, and they're more personal, you know, for you. Where I picked up that the world arc quests or more shareable, the ones that are group, you know, where you group with friends or in a group.
Right.
That's kind of how I picked up the differentiation on it.
Yeah, I think that's kind of was my impression also. The other thing that I thought was really interesting was they talked about relationships. And I hadn't really thought of it this way before, but, you know, they said relationships are really the key to storyline. And you know, that's such a simple concept, but I thought that's really brilliant. And we've never really seen that in an MMO before. At the end of Mass Effect, you have this situation where, you know, things are going crazy and you have your companions with you and you have to pick, you know, who are you going to send to go do this? And then who are you going to take with you to go do this other thing? And, you know, you split up and then at the end, one of them dies based on your decision. And it's just, you know, it's just gut wrenching, which because you've put so much in these people, these characters, and you've developed relationships with them, and so you really care about them. You really care about what happens to them, and you have a real emotional reaction. Unlike in WoW, when you know that little dwarf that you met 5 minutes ago, and you're walking along, and then he gets killed in an escort quest. You're not like no, you know, why is the world this way? Your reaction is just like, ah, crap, now I got to do this one again. And so it's, you know, it's a completely different experience, and I was very excited to hear them talk about that for their development of their quests.
Yeah, I hope that is something that is going to be very important in the game. That is part of what I'm looking forward to as far as all the storylines and stuff, because if we bring in these characters that we care about and that we care about what happens to them, I think that just enhances the whole storyline background.
Yeah, your whole experience.
Exactly, exactly.
And in fact, you know, it could affect your relationships with actual players, you know, your friends in the game. I mean, really important how they act, you know, in terms of how it's going to affect your storyline and, you know, when you're doing these world art quests. So even if you're going to get the correct light or dark points, it still could change things that maybe you don't want changed. And, you know, I think it's going to make people choose their real player friends wisely also.
Well, speaking of that, though, what they were talking about in the group content, just because let's say the group decided to kill the captain and you didn't want to kill the captain, your decision is only going to affect you and your character, even though you may have had to kill the captain. The thing that Olin pointed out was that the decision of the group is not going to penalize the individual in light or dark points. It's how you answered the question is how it would be, you know, it'd be affected on the light and dark points. So you still can shape your character your way, even mm-hmm. though you had to kill the captain and you didn't want to.
Yes, that was very reassuring to me.
It was to me, too.
Since I worry about, you know, just accidentally grouping with the wrong person.
Right. Okay, up next, new Sith House, House Thule, was announced. That will go along with House Organa for the Republic side. And one of the things that I was really excited about is the fact that they talked about meeting up when both houses would meet on Ulduran, how they would interact with each other, which led us to this little audio clip for possible world PvP.
So the Republic players would go to the world, they would get involved in a very Organa-centric plot, while the Imperial players would go there and get involved in a very Thule related plot. However, those two houses are in conflict, so both of those stories are going to take the players to areas of the world where they're going to come into contact with players of the enemy faction. And usually when that happens, you know, it's not so nice. But you get the Star Wars part of the game.
Okay, and also faction changes will never be possible. One of the things that Olin said is that planets will never change faction and players will never change faction. No matter how many light points you get if you're Sith, and no matter how many dark points you get as a Republic, you will not change factions.
Yes, that is true.
So, Kathy, what do you think about the audio clip we just heard on World PvP?
Right. I actually didn't catch the the inference, the obvious inference, the first time. But when I went back, I thought, wait a minute. This is the first time they've talked about PvP outside of the, you know, the specific PvP zones. They're making it sound like, you know, Republic players on their quest for House Organa and Sith players on their quests for House Thule are going to just sort of accidentally bump into each other, and then, you know, PvP might happen. So I thought that was cool. Very exciting for people who want world PvP.
Well, it was exciting for me because I think everybody that has started listening knows that I'm all for real world feeling in the game. That is one of the reasons why in WoW I chose an RP PvP server, was the fact that I always had to watch my back for not only what those mindless leopards I'm killing, but also to see if a horde might be coming, sneaking up on me to kill me while I'm all involved in killing leopards. I like that feel. To me, it's a real threat, and it adds a layer of the game to me to make it more real world. I mean, I know it's not the real world, but you know what I mean.
Yes, yes. And for those of you who might not have already suspected this, Carla loves to gank people. You know, so I know that if I'm with her and we're doing some kind of quest or traveling somewhere, it's like, and there's some little poor little 17 level horde off to the side, I know she's going to get off her horse and she's going to go whack him.
It's like, hey, oh, I can't help it. I mean, he's there, red as dead. He's, you know, but I don't sit there and camp him. I mean, I whack him, kill him, go on and move on. I mean,
you're a drive-by.
I'm a drive-by. You got it.
So the other thing that that James Olin hinted at or inferred was about a possible companion character that we haven't heard about. He was actually talking about something else, and he just sort of, you know, on the fly talked about Mako. And we have a clip of that too, I think.
If, for example, you had two bounty hunters and they both have Mako, who's a companion character, out, it's not, you're not going to have two Makos running around so that everyone's like, what the, is that mine? No.
So what we have here is he's just saying, oh, bounty hunters seem to be, you know, he seems to be saying bounty hunters are going to have Mako as a companion character. Mako Spence was a smuggler, and he appeared first in one of the comic books. I can't remember. Is it Dark Empire? Something like that. And then he has also appeared in different books and here and there. So I looked on the official site on their companions page, and they still only have Vet there. So I don't know whether to call that a confirmed fact or a slip or what. But it looks like we have now two companion characters that have been announced for the Sith side.
Yep, I think it's pretty cool that he made that slip so that we know that the bounty hunters are possibly going to have Mako, and that if two bounty hunters have both of their Makos out, that you're going to be able to readily identify which one is yours.
Right, and what he was specifically talking about was the nameplate issue, and he said if you go and you into a public space and you see everyone's companion character, over the companion character's head, the first thing you see will be the player's name, which will be much easier for identifying your character, for, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. Okay, and finally from Comic-Con, big reveal was it was announced that not every race will be available to play for every class. So there are going to be certain races that are very class-specific. So that's going to be important if you want a certain look, you know, if you wanted your particular class to look a certain way by it being a certain race, like a Twi'lek or whatever, you're going to have to choose your class very carefully.
Right, if that's more important to you than the actual class, which I don't know that that will be. But anyway, that wasn't surprising to hear, but that is the first time they specifically mentioned it.
Right. Okay, up next, there was a new Blood of the Empire installment, number 8, like the rest of the comics. I enjoyed it very much, but it's always too short and leaves me wanting more. And one of the things I should mention is that Alexander Freed is the writer of Blood of the Empire, and he's also the managing editor, so that's why he knows all that good stuff. So
yes, that's right. That was this most recent Friday update. Poor Tenem Kel, first XL crush just messes with him in the real world, and then he has like this vision, and there she is again messing with him.
I know.
So, how you wonder how much real anything that he learned in that dream, I'm assuming it was a dream, is. But I think it shows that he definitely is struggling with where he wants his, I guess, I don't know if loyalty is the right word, but he's struggling with how submissive he can be to the Emperor. How much is he truly a servant of the Empire, and how much if he's just going to be, he's going to be too prideful and he won't be able to, just blindly follow commands.
I know what you mean.
Okay, the biggest and coolest part of last Friday's update, I think, was Narshada, which was announced as a playable moon, and that would be a moon of Hutta. Yeah, my first reaction was like, oh, it's beautiful, in that decadent Las Vegas Blade Runner style way, with the colorful neon lights and the floating buildings. I mean, it definitely just seemed like somewhere very, very fun to go to have a good time.
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, what I liked about Nar Shaddaa was the whole fact that it is a fun city, and I loved reading about the history, and I loved reading about everything that's going on the top surface of the world and up underneath the world. I like the differences between the two competing factions of the mm-hmm. underworld fighting each other and plotting, and I thought, man, this is going to be such a fun place to be. You can go up on the top, and I'm hoping this is when they'll introduce gambling in the game. That would be so much fun to actually play a game within a game.
I know. Wouldn't that be fun? In some ways, it was sort of reminded me of Coruscant when they talk about it's safer on the upper levels, and then when you go to the lower levels, it can be pretty dicey if you're hanging around there. I loved what, just from the video clip, they showed what looked like, I don't know, nightclubs or bars. And I thought, oh, wouldn't it be great if, like in Grand Theft Auto, you could, if you didn't feel like working on whatever quest you were on, you could just drive to the nightclub and you could sit and watch the acts. And there were a bunch of acts, singers and stand-up comics. And I thought, oh, I would love it if there was something like that in Tor. It would be really, really entertaining. The other thing about the history was about how Nar Shaddaa had these sort of creepy scientific experiments run by corporations. And I guess Nar Shaddaa is known for really advanced, the most advanced technologies in the galaxy. And the way they did that was by performing experiments on unwilling subjects, I think is what they said on the official site. But I liked that creepy experiments going on and conspiracies and all that kind of thing. I like
right.
that part of the story. I think that Sam the Man observed in our forums that we could probably assume that for the bounty hunter and the Imperial agent, Nar Shaddaa might be the next explorable world, because since it's right next to Hutta, which is where they start on their world quest, or their class quest, their origin quest. So I thought that was a good observation by someone who is on our forums.
Oh yeah, I thought that was really cool, and I have to say that Nar Shaddaa happens to be one of my most favorite planets, even though it's not a planet, a moon, that has been announced so far, because of mm-hmm. all the things going on up front and behind the scenes. I really like mm-hmm. all that mystery and that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that's a wrap for all the biggest Tor news.
And that brings us to our next segment.
Sin.
Strong am I with the Force.
Or Jedi.
It's time to pose another real-life Sith or Jedi challenge. Last week, we found that Kathy and I are not penny pinchers when it comes to feeding our dinner guests.
And that Carla thinks every charitable donation call is a scam. So far, our scores stand at Carla -2 and Kathy +2. Remember that negative scores reflect a dark side tendency, while positive scores reflect a light side tendency.
All right, Kathy, are you ready for your Sith or Jedi challenge?
Absolutely.
Okay, this one is called Test of the Seat Hog. You have just boarded the commuter train at the beginning of the line. The car is only half full, and there are plenty of seats now, but you know in a few stops the train will be at capacity. When you select a seat, do you 1. Pick a row, slide all the way to the window, and hold your personal items in your lap? Or 2. Pick a row, slide all the way to the window, put your personal items on the outside seat next to you. When the train gets more crowded, you will move your things so someone can sit down. Or 3. Pick a row, sit down on the outside seat, blocking access to the window seat, where you place your personal items and stare boldly ahead. If someone asks you to move your things, maybe you will, maybe you won't.
I hate number 3. And I've seen it. I would say that I would go with number 2 because, you know, if the train is empty, there's no reason why you can't put your stuff there. But you know, as soon as there was any indication that there might be somebody who could use my seat, I would move my stuff. So I would go with 2.
Okay. In 2, you have chosen a neutral path. There is no harm in having your things occupy the empty seat while no one needs it. And if more commuters fill the other seats before getting to yours, maybe you'll reach your stop and won't have to worry about the awkwardness of squeezing past someone sitting next to you.
Right. Okay. How about you? Are you much of a commuter train person?
Actually, no. First of all, I would not have done number 1. That's just me. I like sitting on the outside seat. But mm-hmm. I would not have chosen number 2 because I would never put my things on the outside for someone to walk by and pick up. So okay. I have to choose number 3, and not because I would boldly stare ahead, but because I would place my items on the seat inside so no one could get them, but I would make someone else squeeze by me.
Okay. That's right. That's true. You got there first. You get to choose the seat you sit in.
Exactly. And that's the way I feel about it.
That's funny. You know, there's actually, an online site. It's called seathogs.com. And if you go there, there are pictures of seat hogs, people doing obnoxious things like sleeping on 2 seats or doing number 3. and I guess it's supposed to be some kind of revenge if you don't have the confidence to go and tell someone to move their stuff. I thought that was funny.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe there's actually a website on that.
I know. You know, some people, I think, would rather be indignant than just say politely, could you move your things so I can sit down, which is really the correct response.
Well, and I'm bold enough to where I would have asked, you know. So
yes.
I assume everyone else is just equally as bold.
You know. Yeah, no,
but
they're not.
I would have made them squeeze in. So
they're secretly taking pictures of you and posting them on the site.
That's okay. I mean, you know, if they're doing that for me, they're leaving somebody else alone. Anyway, because I chose number 3, I have chosen the dark side. I was there first. If someone has a problem with it, me taking an extra seat, they can confront me. But until then, both seats are mine. And knowing that most people would rather stew in self-righteous indignation rather than actually talking to a stranger, I am betting that I will get away with it. And I probably will.
Good plan. All right, that sound means it's time for our Community Buzz segment, where we find out what the fans are talking about. One of the things that I saw coming up on the official forums was a discussion about microtransactions, and that I think that stemmed from the announcement in Ink Gamers on July 27th, where EA announced that Live Gamer will handle the microtransactions for all EA games. Now, they did not say which games will be using microtransactions, but of course, you know, the Tor fans are very interested in commenting about this. Yes, there's pretty, I would say, people have pretty strong opinions about microtransactions. And while I agree that I don't want to see them, you know, flooding the game, I don't want to see them being anything more than like a vanity thing, like a vanity companion or something. And I don't want to see them all the time. I'm talking like maybe twice a year, 2-3 times a year. I don't mind. but so once though, if they want to every once in a while introduce something that's just completely non-game affecting, I don't have a problem with it. But I know that some people do, and I think you have opinions about this, don't you?
Absolutely. First of all, to me, that's not true microtransactions if it's just a vanity pet or something like that every now and then. For example, Blizzard does that in World of Warcraft. You can purchase vanity mounts, you can purchase vanity pets, and that sort of thing. Even though it is a true microtransaction, I don't consider that what most game companies look for in doing microtransactions. I see that more of just something special to add on. Mm-hmm. You know, but microtransactions to me are the nickel and diamond you to death for this armor or that sword or that mace or some new lightsaber or the biggest and the best of this. And the only way you can get to this instance is to pay $5 more or whatever. That's what I initially think of when I think of microtransactions, even though that may not be what it is. That is how I see it as a consumer. I would much rather pay more per month to never see that, never be nickeled and dimed to death, and just pay to play. And then I wouldn't mind them adding on a vanity pet or a vanity horse or whatever the case may be, as long as it's something that does not impact my playing time and what I can get in the game as far as armor right. or something important.
Right. Well, then we're probably on the same side, because I would absolutely be against those things. You should not be able to buy better gear with real money. you should not be able to impact your game or your progression by paying for it to, you know, outside of the whatever payment model they go. But I think that microtransactions do mean the kind of things that I'm talking about, because I don't know what else to call them. And there are people who are even against those. I'm not sure exactly why. I think that's taking too much of a black and white, you know, I'm against microtransactions, period. and it might be kind of the slippery slope idea. Like once they get their foot in the door doing it that, they're going to slowly branch out to other things that will be game affecting. Which you and I both do not want to see, and I think most people don't want to see. But I don't have a problem if they just put something like that. And I have to say that I have spent money in WoW on a couple of, like, I have the Kung Fu Panda companion, little vanity pet. He's really adorable, and I just enjoy him. I don't see why people should have a problem if I wanted to spend my money on that. So if they're going to do it in tour, as long as it's limited, and as long as it's not too often, because I think Blizzard was starting to do it too much. I haven't really been paying attention for a while now, but when the Celestial Steed came out, and then there were just a bunch of those little vanity pets, I thought, well, this is sort of dumb, because now it's like two a month or something. but I think linked to that, the in the forums is kind of just the whole subject of payment models. And of course there's always the people that think it should be free. And I paid for the game, why should I have to continue to pay every month or whatever the model's going to be? And it's nice to see most people saying, well, that's a dumb attitude, but there are definitely people out there that do think they should just get things for free, you know. I don't know what BioWare can do about it, but this sort of indignation about how they're scamming us and being greedy is just sort of ridiculous.
Well, one of the things that comes to my mind is a recent announcement by Sony Entertainment on EverQuest 2. They just announced that EverQuest 2 Extended is going to become a free-to-play game.
Right, I heard about that.
But if they are... if you really look at their different levels of payment, whether it be for free or you pay a certain amount or a fee or whatever, you notice that they're getting it to where, for example, the cap is, I think, level 80. I don't play the game, so please correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the level cap is 80. But if you have their super elite, you know, $200 a year package, you can go to level 90. It is those types of microtransactions that I'm against.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because that's real. That has real game impact on your experience. You know, these other things you're not even going to notice.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. Yeah. I think that is what I have heard also. I just wanted to also say that, you know, the people who think that $15 a month is too much, or just, I don't know what world they're living in, but that's how much I pay to see a 3D movie if I buy it online and pay the extra dollar. That's $15 right there. And for $15, I have gotten, you know, 2 hours of a movie that may or may not be any good, that I may or may not enjoy. And, you know, $15 for a whole month of play, that just seems like the best deal out there. And so I'm not... I don't really see how paying, like, for, what is it, pay to play, the idea that you pay depending on how much you play per, you know, in any given time period. I just think that $15 a month is got to be a better deal than, for the average player, than any of these other models that they're talking about.
Oh, I totally agree. Well, that leads us into the in-game debate that is running rampant on the Star Wars The Old Republic forums. Right now, last count, there were 69 pages of people that commented about, you know, not going to be enough for in-game content, or they think that there's, you know, some people are yelling at those people saying that there's too much. You know, to give BioWare a minute or give them some time, they're going to get to it. Then there's those of them that took James Olin's comments and blew them totally out of proportion and said, you know, we're just not going to have, they're going to concentrate more on storyline than they, and solo play and small group play and get you involved in the story rather than offering you good in-game content. To those naysayers, I say, jeez, give me a break. The game's not, you know, out yet. I think they're going to take care of us. Just be patient.
Right. Yeah. You know, and I don't have a problem with people asking the question. You're like, what do you think? Or do you think this means, you know, do you think their emphasis on storytelling means that the end game is not going to be good? I don't have a problem with people who post their questions or opinions and that, you know, very neutral and kind of genuinely seeking a response to an idea. What I do have a problem with are the people who get on there and they act all huffy because they're not getting what they want. And I just think that, you know, there's a world of difference between those two approaches. And, you know, it's exactly that kind of thing that's why you get 69 pages or whatever. It's like people trying to defend or people saying, this is a free country. You know, what about free speech? It's like, oh my gosh, there's a point where that kind of back and forth trying to one up the other person is just not even worth reading. And I certainly didn't read all 69 replies.
There's no way I was going to do that either. But, you know, that is how board trolls are born.
So we need that real ID system
exactly.
To cut down on the trolling.
Not really, guys. Not really.
No.
Okay.
We just wanted to mention that on our Corellian Run Radio forums, there was a interesting response to the Trinity Love It or Hate It thread. Max Leo, I can't pronounce it. He posted a nice in-depth rebuttal explaining why he thinks developers should move away from the Trinity, and it was thought-provoking and quite, you know, quite analytical. So you might want to check it out on our forums. We just want to remind everyone that you can contact us through our website or on our forums, and you can follow us on Twitter or on Facebook by clicking the little Twitter and Facebook icons on the upper right page of our site. You can also leave a voice message by clicking on the Google Voice button that says Call Me on our site, or by calling 281-766-4511. Leave a message for us, and we'd love to play it for everyone on our podcast. Finally, just a little shout out to Tor Syndicate, which we are a member of. That's a community of fan sites and guilds who are collaborating to produce Star Wars related articles. You know, some editorial type things or speculation. Those are the kind of articles you're going to find. And I know that they're looking for more authors, and they would love to have more participation. You can find them at torsyndicate.com.
And you can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Zune. We'd also like to thank those who left us positive feedback on iTunes, and that's Cha-Cha Bob, Val Jaredon, That Krill, and Sam the Man. We would also like to thank Val from Jedi Archives Online for helping install the new audio player on our website. Finally, we'd like to thank Guild Umbra, Tor Syndicate, Jedi Archives Online, and anyone else that we may have missed for mentioning us in their podcast. We really appreciate the shout-outs, guys. Thank you. That wraps it up for us at Corellian Run Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you again in a couple of weeks.
Until next time, I'm Kathy.
And I'm Carla. May the Force be with you.
And the commuter train always be only half full. You have been listening to Corellian Run Radio, a Star Wars The Old Republic podcast. Tune in next time to hear Carla say,
"Move your briefcase or it's lightsaber time."
End transmission.